Hi, this is Adam Rapp, and I'll be reading from my novel, Under the Wolf, Under the Dog. I was so in love, I went into my room and drank half a bottle of Robitussin. It was maximum strength for cough and cold. I decided to change my clothes and put on this gabardine cowboy shirt that Welton let me borrow last Halloween. It had black deerskin shoulders, red sleeves, pearl snaps, and blonde tubing. He bought it in Barcelona during this European trip he took with his underclassmen AAU basketball team just after his sophomore year. I never gave it back, but he didn't care. He stopped changing his clothes after he lost his job at the nursing home, or maybe it was even before that. He would, like, totally lounge around in these old brown suit slacks my mom used to make him wear to church. The brown suit slacks and his green orderly top from the nursing home. It was an odd combination. It made him look like he was either just being admitted or released from the hospital. Anyway, I changed into Welton's gabardine cowboy shirt, and even though it was still, like, 85 degrees, I put on a pair of brown corduroy pants, and I started sort of dancing around the room. Nothing too fast, just a little two-step. And Mary Mills was, like, right there with me. Obviously, she wasn't really there, but I sort of pretended like she was the bottle of Robitussin, and I was dancing with her and drinking her sweet, delicious tears. And then all of a sudden, I realized how little time we have, like on Earth, I mean. And when I say we, I mean everyone. It was a profound realization, and I suddenly had to share this fact with Mary. I know that sounds insane because of how it was already after midnight and all the other crazy things that had happened that day, but it was one of the most important feelings I've ever had. My chest was swelling and everything. It felt like there were only so many hours left on the Earth. That's the hardest part about being alive. Mary Mills would be going off to New York City in a few weeks, and there was just too little time. That's when I decided to rehijack the Fairmont. Before I left, I brushed my teeth and reapplied Old Spice High Endurance deodorant stick. I put on this aftershave that my dad keeps in the bathroom, too. It's green, and it's the kind you use for an electric razor. It has a masculine smell, and I'm pretty sure girls like it. I wanted to write a rock and roll hero or a rock and roll anti-hero or a punk rock anti-hero type of character who could give voice to some of my own feelings about the world, such as notions of television and loneliness and the way depression can stop even the strongest spirit sometimes. I do remember feeling a lot of similar feelings of confusion and loneliness and feeling like I wasn't sure where my place in the world was. So in that respect, it's a very personal novel, and that I do identify with Steve. I don't think I would have ever had the guts to kick in 17 TVs or shave my head or walk around with an X on my forehead or have the guts to get on a Greyhound bus with no idea where I was really going at his age. So in some ways, I feel like I'm writing a courageous character who I wish I could have been in some ways. But ultimately, I was glad I did it, and I'm glad the book is in the world to be read, and I hope that when people read it, they just sort of feel like they've encountered a friend who they'll miss after they turn the last page. I also intend the book to be funny. I think adolescence and puberty and confusion about opposite sex hopes or similar sex hopes or whatever one's persuasion is can be some of the most rich fodder for comedy. And I knew that the novel needed a buoyancy if it was going to keep people involved. So I was hoping that Steve, who was funny in my head, would translate to be funny on the page as well.